our specific use case with medical devices, I see a good range of both. Some companies, maybe if they want to save some money, they'll go with the RealWear. Others see, you know, potential with the HoloLens.
Welcome to AI for Pharma Growth, the podcast from pioneering pharma artificial intelligence entrepreneur, Dr. Andre Bates. This show aims to demystify AI for all those in biopharma, from startup biotech right through to big pharma. Each episode focuses on all things AI and future tech related to help pharma execs to navigate through the and benefit from the sometimes confusing but magical world of AI-powered tools to grow and get real-world results.
I'm with Dmitry Slukovich from PTC, and he is a pre-sales technical specialist. And I would like to interview him today about some of their interesting augmented reality solutions. So welcome, Dmitry.
Thanks for having
me. You're very welcome. Could you maybe tell me a little bit about yourself and your role first?
Yeah, so my name is Dmitry Slavkovich. I'm about 3 years out of school. So the first place that I came to work was actually at PPC. My role at the company is a pre-sales technical specialist. So slowly, you know, building up my knowledge of PTC solutions. Mostly my job consists of pre-sales roles, so showing the software to potential customers, as well as possibly building out things like concepts.
And maybe, so a lot of what PTC does is around augmented reality. Would you be able to explain what augmented reality is to someone who is not familiar with the term?
Yeah, so I think a good way to explain is understanding kind of the spectrum. So we live in reality. Imagine, you know, even if you're wearing glasses, it's just to amplify what we're currently seeing. However, we are starting to get into what people know as virtual reality. So you can think of video games, you put on a goggle or a headset, and you're completely immersed in this virtual reality. Now, augmented reality is going to kind of be in between, where you're still going to be in our, what we would call reality. However, you will have digital information, either through an eyepiece or by looking through your phone, kind of assisting and with our current reality. So it isn't virtual reality where we can't see what's going on in front of us. It's more going to be taking aspects of virtual reality and applying.
Interesting. And so what kind of challenges do people bring to you to solve with augmented reality?
Yeah, so I would say typically it's going to be split up into three use cases. Now, there is more than this, but what we typically look at is training. Mm-hmm. So a way to get onboarding, retaining that knowledge, that retiring knowledge, and be able to get maybe new workers that learn in different ways to retain that knowledge better. Mm-hmm. Then service. So it could be digitizing traditional service manuals, whatever that might be. Mm-hmm. And then I would say thirdly is probably just operation. So maybe operators being able to see real-time data of different assets on the shop floor.
Interesting. So in terms of medical or healthcare use cases, can you think of any specific ones that you are familiar with from PTC?
So I don't have any off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. Right here. But I do know we have been working, especially with expert capture with med device companies. So what I can do is I can reach out and see if any specific use cases that we.
That would be really interesting.
Or case studies.
Yeah, interesting. And then what about in the lab? So what kind of things can you do there?
Yeah, so actually a good example is what I plan on showing today.
Okay.
But as you can imagine, we have a few different solutions for augmented reality. And one of our main solutions is called Vuforia Studio. Mm-hmm. And with that, we take CAD data. And then with that CAD data, create one of these experiences. Now, what we see in the med device, or potentially pharmaceutical space, is that getting CAD data for all the different equipment that they're working with may be a lot more difficult than, let's say, a manufacturing company or a company that's actually designing all those products that they're working with. So that's where we're seeing expert capture is actually going to be coming really in handy in this space.
Okay.
We're definitely seeing a lot of med devices starting to see
these exports. So how do the med devices use it specifically? What would be the main use cases there?
So it could be from anything from, you know, training up on understanding how these different devices work. So getting away from maybe more traditional or having somebody to...
Yeah, that's interesting. So, for example, say a medical device was for surgery, you could actually have the 3D of it being used or that kind of thing in front of the surgeon at the time of surgery, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much potential there. Or diagnostics, being able to maybe see, maybe there's live data associated with these devices that you want to be able to see. So really just making it easier for people to get as much information about some facets.
Interesting.
And augmented reality, just great way to bring it right in front of you.
Yeah, I certainly can imagine just on a personal level, you know, sometimes when you're trying to put furniture and things together, say you've got like an IKEA thing and you're trying to figure out the instructions, it would be a lot easier if someone was in front of you going, this screw goes into this thing. Yeah.
I think furniture was one of the first use cases.
Oh, was it?
IKEA, yeah, they definitely have their own app. I see a lot of other furniture companies getting into it as well.
Oh, and interesting.
Like, just like you said, imagine. You don't know what a couch is going to look like in your living room. So let's pull out that IKEA app and see exactly how it looks.
Nice.
To the real dimensions. So actually what they were doing with the furniture specifically is based on the CAD model that they're pulling in the augmented reality experience, that's going to be the actual dimensions of that object. And so they're not going to allow the customer to scale up or down. So when they essentially, they show that couch in their living room, it's going to be set to the dimensions or the length and width that it actually is.
Okay.
So you just have to place it in your room. You know, you can move it around, see if it fits, but it's,
wow.
So to get a feel, and I'd say probably most importantly, to make sure things.
Yeah. So it would be, I'm just trying to get my head around this. So it's actually looking at the room and you are almost inserting the couch on top of the visual of the real room because it's okay.
Exactly.
Wow.
So you're using your camera to look at your room.
Yeah.
You don't need you're looking at your room with your eyes as well as the phone. But the eyes of the phone allow you to place that couch.
Okay.
And then you can see it.
That's really interesting. So, and then I guess for medical devices, also another application would be demonstrating how it, you know, instead of a salesman showing the doctor or whoever or the patient how to use it, the augmented reality could basically be showing them what to do.
Yeah, so away from training and service with customers, marketing sales.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, so, you know, especially like we just talked about the furniture example.
Yeah.
What better way to market your furniture than for people to not even, they don't have to get in their car and drive out to IKEA. They can just download your app.
Yeah.
See if it fits. And if it fits, then they'll go drive out or they'll order the furniture.
And they could check, you know, which color scheme goes better or, you know, that kind of thing. Which couch looks better. Yeah. Very nice.
Okay. So really, these challenges are going to apply to different industries, so whether it's manufacturing, that device, or whatever it might be, a lot of these challenges are going to be similar. So first, maybe pre-existing assets to create these step-by-step instructions may not even exist. And then you could have lack of relevant CAD data, or maybe training instructions are either non-existent or they're still in that traditional format. And then, you know, everything from customer demand. So now customers do want to be able to see exactly what's going on with their assets and making sure, you know, they can have the confidence it will work the way it's supposed to. But really a big one here as well is going to be this worker skill gap. So like you mentioned, retiring workforce, you have a new generation of workers coming in. It's difficult to get more jobs. But what we're seeing is this does, growing modern technology into, let's say, training or as being a part of that onboarding does attract a lot of these. And really, expert capture, it's going to be the easiest and most rapid way to create powerful instructions that will empower frontline workers or users of, let's say, so it can provide up-to-date information on how to successfully perform, let's say, tasks when and where workers need it most, and then in the real world context of their daily. And so accelerated authoring and publishing, step-by-step instructions, again, without the need for CAD or development efforts. The idea here is you don't have to be a developer to build these out. That subject matter expert or whoever's in charge of building out training material will actually have the ability to go in, build these out. It's very intuitive, not a lot of time. So we do allow to save time. We have easy to use templates that make content even more convenient. And we do have, so with the spatial relevance, if you're using a Microsoft HoloLens, it will actually have location awareness capabilities. So these can be leveraged to connect steps in a procedure to specific objects or actual locations. So providing safe and accurate guidance for frontline. So what we're about to show in the demo after this slide is going to be working in a lab environment. So potentially what you can do with this location awareness is set for each step, a way to guide that user, you know, hey, walk this way. Now with the RealWare, you don't have these capabilities, but the RealWare still will have all other capabilities. So any questions just quickly that you have maybe on the differences between HoloLens or RealWear?
Yeah, tell us the difference.
So what you're seeing here, covering both the eyes, is the Microsoft HoloLens. So as you imagine, he's looking down through these glasses. He can see what he's working on. But what he can also see is this augmented instruction. So on top of his reality, he's going to see step four. Maybe there's some textual instruction, so on. Now, the RealWear is only going to cover one eye. It's going to be an eyepiece. And essentially, you can imagine someone is looking at their environment, and then when they need to see the instruction, they just peek over with one of their eyes.
Okay.
So maybe not quite as immersive as the HoloLens.
Yeah.
But it's still going to be that assistant.
When do people use one versus the other, typically?
So the RealWear is really good for loud manufacturing environments, and it's very durable. So if you know you're in an area where potentially, you know, these headsets may get damaged, that's when I'll see RealWear. Now, the HoloLens is going to be a little more expensive, but let's say our specific use case with medical devices, I see a good range of both. So some companies, maybe if they want to save some money, they'll go with the RealWear. Others see, you know, potential with the HoloLens. So I don't want to say one or the other. I think it's a good mix.
Okay, interesting. Okay, cool.
And sometimes companies will have both.
Yeah.
So they'll have a HoloLens as well as a real one.
It's amazing. It's very interesting how, in the picture in that slide, how you can overlay the real world with these instructions. I mean, you can imagine just for anything, you know, for training, I'm thinking again in medicine, I guess, but, you know, training surgeons and all sorts of things like that, there'd be a lot of applications.
Yeah, and so you can also see, say, potentially internal parts. You could shade things. So sometimes, you know, there might be a danger where a worker doesn't know what the internal parts are.
Yeah.
Maybe they could get shocked by wiring.
Yeah.
So with this augmented reality, you do have the potential of the layout, these parts or whatever.
It's fascinating. Excellent. Well, let's have a look at it in action.
Yeah, so. So just so you know what it looks like with the location capabilities, I'm going to be showing this with a Microsoft HoloLens.
Okay.
So right there, you just saw it said location saved.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be that capability of, so for step two, I'll place a different location.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially for the end user, when this is all published out, they'll be walked from that location for save one to location for save two.
Okay.
Now, like I mentioned, the slide, can't do that with the real wear, but everything else you're going to see in the demo, you can. And essentially the way this works is an expert's wearing one of these headsets. They're going through. It's going to automatically begin recording once she starts every new step. And then beyond that, it's going to be voice commands. So here you're seeing photos being taken. That's through the voice command, take photo.
Yeah.
And so let's say next step, she'll just go ahead and say next step. Now these devices can tell the difference between voice commands and simple narration.
Mm-hmm.
So the end user will be getting all their senses. They'll be able to see, they'll be able to hear, and then they can potentially be able to be, you know, taken from one location to another.
Mm-hmm. How easy is it to set these up, these kind of
yes.
training demos?
Yeah, so it's really not too difficult, especially with expert capture. The idea is somebody gets used to the different voice commands, the feel of that headset on their head,
mm-hmm.
and then beyond that, it should be pretty intuitive. So, you know, you have those voice commands. PTC will typically, we do hold workshops where we'll go on site, or we'll do virtual workshops where we make sure the customer understands how the device works.
Yeah.
And they understand this editor that I'm about to show you. So
okay.
that when we do go hands off, these customers can fully build out all the collateral that they need. But versus, let's say, maybe our other solution with Vuforia Studio, where there might be some JavaScript, CSS involved, there's going to be literally no coding.
So before you get to the stage where actually doing the demo, in this case, this person in the lab is actually walking through the steps, how much time does it take to set up? Is it literally a half an hour of explaining it to them or to get to know the voice command?
Typically, we'll have somebody fully set up and ready to go within 45 minutes.
Wow.
And then after 45 minutes, what we'll do is we'll have them record some basic instructions, maybe just to get an idea of the voice commands. And then usually within the first hour, hour and a half, we let them go and actually begin. So that day, usually in those workshops, you know, within a few hours, we'll have them recording the content that is actually out.
Interesting. And so, and these in the, on the screen right now, so with the steps, so you've got step one there, and then you've got the images that were taken and the instructions. And so in the real use of the product, you have got your hologram lens on, and then you are seeing these overlaid over the real world with these instructions at that location.
Yep, exactly. And so another benefit here is when you're done recording on that device, what you'll do is you'll plug it into your computer. This is a web-based setting environment. You don't have to install anything. Just have your user and log in. You'll get in. But the great part is these steps are already built out. So once I pull this procedure in, all I have to do is maybe edit these different steps. I could add markups to these pictures or videos potentially. So I'll show that quickly. And we'll select this picture. And so what I'm about to show this photo, you could easily do with the videos as well. It's just marking up. We could throw in letters, potentially shapes to bring attention to different parts. What we'll do here is we'll throw in a circle just to bring attention to where she is already. And let's go ahead and just purple. And then once I save that, that's what the picture is going to look like now. Mm-hmm. And that'll store off both the original photo as well as that new photo.
Interesting.
And then you can imagine the videos, you can easily edit, cut and paste.
Yeah.
But the idea is once somebody is comfortable enough, maybe after a few days of building these out, they won't have to do too much in the editor. You know, they'll really have figured out, hey, if I do it right this way, it'll minimize the amount of time.
Yeah.
Wow. And then here, just showing quickly how to manually build a step, I simply wrote in some descriptive text, and then all I did was drag and drop assets from the left onto the right.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting about this step here is it's nothing that we captured. It's simply a diagram of mass spectrometer that we wanted to hit. So you can imagine some companies, they have those traditional 2D manuals. They'll include those as well, just to have as reference.
Okay.
Not held to just stuff you capture. You can easily pull in other pictures you have as well.
So I guess could you even pull in video from places?
Yeah. If you have an MP4 format,
yeah,
you can easily pull that in. So if you already have a video built out, you import that file and then drag and drop onto that step.
So I guess the kind of advantages of this is firstly saving time, because you wouldn't need, you know, someone to be there training people all the time. They could just be there to troubleshoot if something, you know, they really didn't get it. But, and I guess cost in that case as well, because you wouldn't have to, the people cost of the training.
As well as maybe printing. So decreasing the amount of materials, maybe people have to send out all this paper.
Yeah.
To different sites to make sure that they're trained up with that as well. So you can potentially digitize your processes.
Yeah.
And then just the ability for retention. We've shown different customers, and hopefully we can find some case studies to share out with you.
Yeah.
But have found, where this is maybe training 50% faster. They've seen employees be able to retain the knowledge they learn better, because how much easier is it to see exactly what, you're supposed to do visually versus trying to decipher some diagram or whatever it may be.
I love the fact that it's over the real place, the real world. I mean, it's very helpful, even, just a photo with description, but the fact that you can actually wear it and be in the room and see that description and give instructions of exactly what to do while you're standing there and move to this position over here in this room and that kind of thing is fascinating.
Yeah, so that's really going to be the difference then between augmented or assisted reality and the virtual. Because the virtual, you're just completely immersed. I don't know. If somebody walks up to me outside my headset, I have no idea.
Yeah.
But augmented reality, it's really that combination.
Yeah. And that's helpful if you've got people who are working with other people, because then if someone came up to them, if they were completely immersed, they may not be able to be aware of them. But if they are in the augmented reality, then they're aware of the real people in the room and they could be working with them alongside whatever else they're doing.
Yeah. And then I don't know what kind of safety compliance or regulations there are in the industries you guys are working in with different med device or pharmaceuticals, but we're seeing with that as well. So just being able to make sure there is compliance, different regulations, safety, that you can create safety instructions. Sometimes what we're seeing here with how to, create these samples, you could also make them very safety oriented.
Okay.
Make sure your goggles are on here. If you don't have your goggles on, stop. It could be as simple as that. Gloves, whatever it may be. I know they're very sanitary environments.
Yeah.
Med device or pharmaceutical.
Very useful for the whole COVID thing too, I guess, with personal protection, protective equipment, etc.
And I don't know how it exactly, let's say, for example, Cannondale, that's a bike company. Mm-hmm. That's one of the customers that we have. It's going to be difficult to differentiate. You have all these different bicycle companies that have been in the industry for 20, 30, 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
So how do they differentiate themselves?
Yeah.
Well, now Cannondale allows, instead of having these 2D instructions, there's an augmented reality experience that comes with every bike. Or since they don't have manufacturer-owned shops and these are independent retailers, how do they make it easier for them to sell their brand? Well, they provide them with full digital training when the bikes show up so that these store owners actually understand the marketing points that can.
Interesting. And I guess also, if I'm just thinking about med devices again, possibly if they were doing market research with potential patients or physicians, you could almost be interacting with the device without interacting with the device, possibly. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking of your furniture example, and I was thinking you've got the sofa in the room and you're in the room. You could almost be picking up a device without actually having the device.
Oh, yeah, certainly. So, yeah, I could, like what you were saying, maybe product design or marketing itself. I don't have to ship that medical device out to the actual person.
Yeah.
I just send them a QR code, they scan the code, and that device is sitting in front of them digitally,
yeah,
of course. But you could still get all the same points across.
Yeah.
The different information, the capabilities. You could make it very interesting.
Yeah, that would be really interesting for device market research, I think.
Yeah.
Because instead
I don't know
of
how much money that would save in terms of shipping or moving those devices around to show them, but that could
It would save money in terms of, you know, if you're doing focus group market research and you have to hire a facility, you need your moderator, you probably still need the moderator, but and then everyone has to travel in, and you know, this would be a very good way to do it, in particularly in today's environment, but you wouldn't have the facility costs of renting the room. You know, there'd be a lot of cost savings doing that, as well as the curiosity factor for people, because it's, you know, something different as well. You'd get probably more participation.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, the cool, it's awesome. You know, it's definitely a very cool technology.
Yeah.
But really, one thing we do want to harp on from BTC is that our goal is to find value.
Yeah.
You know, it's the idea here is to go beyond just, oh, look at this cool new technology.
Yeah.
Actually bringing value, making it.
That's very nice. And so I know that every project would be different, but is there any kind of ballpark cost range of projects? You know, what's a very cheap, easy project to a very complex, expensive project? Or is it a subscription? How does it work financially?
Yeah, so the way things work is subscription.
Okay.
Now, the way things are moving and changing with, you know, COVID and people working from home, I actually just got off a meeting recently where they are in talks of potentially combining what you're seeing here with our other augmented reality solutions so that it almost all becomes one solution.
Interesting.
Now, I don't want to sell that yet. We don't know quite where that's going to go.
Yeah.
But there's certainly potential there. For that.
Interesting.
Now, all the solutions right now, it's our augmented reality, that we have three specific solutions.
Mm-hmm.
They're all going to be subscriptions. Vuforia Chalk, which is simply remote expert assistance tool,
mm-hmm.
that's going to be the least cost.
Okay.
And then Vuforia Studio, which is taking the CAD and creating experiences
mm-hmm.
versus expert capture, which I'm showing you here.
Yeah.
Those are going to be a little bit more than Chalk. But it's all going to be, we are now, for most of our tools, that
subscription. Okay.
Really, the idea here is, you know, we don't provide you value. There's no reason for you to get the solution again the following year. So really, we want to make sure customers do find that value that they want to stay.
Yeah. And in the beginning phase, when a new customer comes to you with an idea, do you help them shape the, you know, what is going, so if they say, I'd really like to use it for XYZ, and your team actually get to know what they want, and they think, actually, there's a better way you could do this, do they kind of guide them a little bit about the ways that would be better?
Yeah, so maybe the first few calls, we talk about kind of your use cases, or we run a demonstration like this.
Mm-hmm.
But the goal is, before we just, you know, take our hands off and let you go build these out, we want to make sure we bring up things we see with our current customers, what we see in the industry, so make sure we don't miss out on anything. And then what I mentioned before were those workshops.
Okay.
So a lot of them are virtual now because of COVID, but we could potentially go on site as well.
Yeah.
And with these workshops, we make sure everybody internal understands how to use the product
mm-hmm.
and that they're aware of all the potential value that they can get.
Okay.
So we have a technical team. And then we also have a business team that's going to come in, so just to cover both
for
our potential customers. You know, you might be working with different levels of med device or pharmaceutical. We do tend to, let's say, in the manufacturing space, we are working with larger companies, usually in the augmented reality space.
Yeah.
Whereas our Creo solutions, I would say that's more all parts of the market.
Yeah. So which was the Creo solutions?
Creo is the CAD.
Okay.
So if your companies do product design
mm-hmm.
and they're currently using CAD, Creo is CAD solution.
Mm-hmm.
However, we do know, so Vuforia Studio, that's where we take the CAD and build out the augmented reality experiences.
Yeah.
We do know customers don't all use Creo.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very CAD agnostic. You can pull in SolidWorks models, OBJ files. We can accept all kinds of
information. Okay. Interesting. So if someone was looking at this, what would be the first step in terms of how do they get started? If they think, wow, this is really interesting, I can think of a use case potentially, what do they do? Do they speak to someone on your team and get help in understanding how they could actually do it, maybe a workshop first or?
Yeah, so we do have different reps within PTC. The goal would be before we do the workshop, just to prove out the value.
Mm-hmm.
So that is our main focus, is going to be making sure that we are actually bringing, saving you money,
yeah,
whatever it might be, not just giving you this tool and saying, hey, it's cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's definitely the first step. Typically, we'll prove out value, and then maybe we'll show a demo to a larger group of people internally. And then once everyone's on board, what we'll do is jobs.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so just as a parting thing, is there any advice you would give someone before they came to you to think about?
Yeah, I would say find a pain point.
Mm-hmm.
That, I would say focus primarily on one. Don't try and do too many things at once.
Mm-hmm.
Once you prove out, let's say maybe your first focus is training. So currently you have traditional training processes.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say is focus on that, prove out value, make sure that works, and then move on to the next.
Okay.
As in the IoT space, mm-hmm. where we say, hey, maybe don't try and connect up all your plants at the same time.
Yeah.
One plant first. Once you're finished with that one plant, you've proven out that value, then I will continue to work with PTC each year on a subscription basis.
Yeah.
And if it's not proven out, then we know that, it may not be a fit.
Yeah. It's similar to the advice I give on artificial intelligence. Start with one business case, one pain point,
mm-hmm.
build that pilot, make sure that works, get the value from that, then move on to the next. Yeah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much. I find this fascinating. I haven't seen any other company doing quite what you're doing. So it's a very interesting application that I can see certainly for med devices, but even for pharma, particularly in, the lab situation very much. But I'm sure there's, lots of other instances that maybe some of the membership can think of when they're looking at it with their own job in mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so here just quickly before jump, hopefully you can see what it looks like for that end user.
Yeah.
So you can imagine really just the ability to navigate around. So if they're using a headset, it's all going to be voice command as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I will mention, it's only the expert reporting these procedures that has to have a headset. The end consumer could be viewing this through their telephone, Android, iOS, as well as a tablet.
Okay, that's interesting. So it actually has, you can actually use it through pretty much any device to access.
Yep, that's the idea here. You do have to use a wearable to record it,
of course.
We showed in the beginning of the demo.
Mm-hmm.
But yep, you don't need it here as that.
That's really interesting.
You just have them wearing a Microsoft HoloLens.
Wow, fascinating. Really interesting. Well, thank you so much for your time. I really found that fascinating, and I'm sure a lot of people watching this will as well. If we've got any follow-up requests about applications, I'll get back to you and we may do a follow-up one.
Yeah, so, feel free. I wouldn't mind showing you Vuforia Studio as well as Vuforia Chart.
I would love to see those, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll set up a time to do those then. Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of AI for Pharma Growth. If you have received huge value from this show, or maybe this episode has highlighted how you can use AI in your company, then we would love for you to support the show by leaving us a 5-star rating. Please make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button on your podcast app now to make sure you never miss an episode.